faith.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us again today. Each week, I so look forward to sharing the message of the gospel with you, the message of the good news, the message of truth. And so this morning, my prayer for you is that in a world where there's such confusion, that God would give us the clarity, that we would sense and know the direction, that he still speaks his word. And I'm believing that today God's going to speak his word into your life, that you're going to sense and know that he has given you a course and a direction to follow him, and it's not one where you're going to live with regret. I'm believing that today God's word would so penetrate your heart and your mind. Isn't it something that it says in Philippians that God will guard your heart and your mind? And I witness that again and again where I say, oh God, protect my mind, protect my heart in these days that we're living in so that we can have the clarity to be able to understand and know his wisdom that's pure and peaceable. And so today my hope is that God would give you wisdom and direction, clarity in your mind in a world that is so filled with such darkness. Even the things that we've witnessed this last week in this nation. Last week, I spoke to you from chapter 12 of Romans, and remember I said about how our lives are called to be living sacrifices. Think of that. Paul said, I appeal to you, I beseech you, I make this strong invitation to you that you will embrace this, that you will experience this, that you will step into this invitation, that your bodies would be a living sacrifice, that you would know the will of God, the good and perfect, acceptable will of God, and it would be because your lives are not conformed to this world. Your lives have been transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the miraculous will take place in the next few minutes. God will renew and restore your mind. I've been sensing that even as I've been preparing to share with you and asking God for his anointing, asking God for his presence this morning, because he still speaks his word into dark places and brings light. He still speaks his word into places where you're confused and gives you peace in your mind. And so when we're going to read from John chapter 12 this morning, and we're going to read quite a portion of scripture because it's so absolutely powerful. We're at a precipice right now where people need to know the will of God and the direction of God, and that our lives are in this place of continually saying, God, I want your will to be done in my life. I want your plans to be accomplished in my family. I want your power to be displayed in this nation right now. And I can tell you from the events of this last week with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a voice for many in this generation, these younger people. On Wednesday, my phone started to blow up. I was out at our farm property when we were working, and then all of a sudden I started getting texts, and I was praying with some guys there, and we were just ready to jump in our trucks and leave for the afternoon, and a young lady was texting me and said, I don't know if you've heard, and then the process of all of that for these last couple days, and saying, oh God, what do you want to speak? Earlier this week, the verse that we've been studying in John chapter 12 in our men's group on Wednesday mornings that meet at the Keystone, we had over 20 guys there this last Wednesday, and we were praying and seeking God. And one of the words that I had is that this was a verse from chapter 12. We hadn't even gotten to this yet. In verse 24, and Jesus makes this declaration, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies. And he's talking about himself there. But I was thinking about all of these things, and that verse just kept resonating with me that whole day. And then when we saw the events unfold out in Utah later that afternoon, I was like, wow, God, your word is so powerful. It's so living. It's so active. To think of this, to think of the... We live in a world that if you don't agree with someone, and I think that's where we're at, you have the right to silence them. And certainly, Charlie Kirk was not some political person. One article I read said he was a political activist. Well, hear me. He certainly was a patriot, and a patriot is someone that is defined as who believes and loves this country and will stand up for the principles on which it was moored or anchored to or built upon. And he certainly did, but he was not a political activist. He was a man of God. He had a sincere and deep faith in Jesus Christ. And so every one of these events he would go to where he would talk and debate with college students is on campus, he certainly met some opposition because his life wanted to replicate what was found in the truth of God's word. Do you get that? His life wanted to replicate what was found in the truth of God's word. And so if you watch his videos, what he reiterates over and over is this is the priority of my life, that God be first, that what Jesus Christ did in my life when I was a fifth grader and the seed that was beginning to grow there in my life has grown and grown, and to see the ministry, his nonprofit Turning Point. And it wasn't had of a political, it certainly had truth. It was based in truth. And here's the great truth, the great message is that he would proclaim the gospel to every one of these, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only salvation. And he wouldn't back away from it. And it certainly put him out as someone who the enemy looked at as a lethal weapon against his dark kingdom. And you can see what's taking place. But I can tell you this, that just like with, he's not the first martyr, and he will not be the last. We can see what took place in the book of Acts when Stephen looked up to heaven and could see it opening up. I believe that God so allowed Charlie on that platform in Utah that he looked up and he said, oh, hey. What's in front of me is so much better than what this world had to offer. And even he stated that less than 2 months before that of his hope and his belief about what would happen after death. You see, there's where it's at. See, unless a kernel of wheat, we come to this place and we must understand this and we must make no mistake about this. There is a truth that's willing to be lived for, and there's a truth that the value of that truth is so enormously immense that it's willing to give up your life. I was a youth pastor for 5 years in Cleveland. Here's one of those mottos that I taught those kids, and every one of those kids before they would come through, they would hear the story of Jim Elliott, who died with his other four friends down in the South America. In a rainforest on the beach there, landed a float plane. Nate Saint was their pilot. Land in there. Miscommunication. These natives thought that they were coming as cannibals. Their lives were taken from them there. But here's what he said. And he got alone with God in a cemetery up near Wheaton, Illinois. He was going to Wheaton College. And he said these words, "He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose." He knew the truth, and the truth demanded a response. See, I think we're coming to a point where we have to understand this is my life, and this is what I've moored to, or this is what I've anchored to, and this will be worth living for, but more importantly than that, it will be worth dying for. And like Stephen, there will be others that will fan and will jump on that flame and will say, we'll run with that torch. And I believe that. I prayed there that day at the farm that what the enemy had meant for evil, God is going to turn for good. God is going to turn for his glory. Now, that doesn't make sense to the mind that is focused on today and this earth and this life, but it makes complete sense to the one who's fixed their eyes on the author and the perfecter of their faith, and for the joy that was set before Jesus endured the cross. You see, when Jesus calls us to come after him, he says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, that's not optional for us. We'd like to say that it is. We'd like to think that it is. We can take it or leave it, but that is not a disciple of Christ. That's just one that's on for the benefits. But a disciple of Christ will count the cost and will run the race and will say, I keep my eyes fixed on him. And one day I'm going to hear, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. See, when we come to that point where we understand that it's worth living for, but more importantly, it's worth dying for. In John chapter 12, what's taking place here is it's an amazing account of what's happened. So Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead, and he shows up back. He comes out of the wilderness. He was away in the wilderness for a while because they wanted to kill him so adamantly to kill him that he went away in the wilderness. Now he comes back into Bethany, and he shows up at a dinner that Mary and Lazarus are at. And Mary does something that people say, why would she do what she did? Remember that story? She takes this jar and of this flask of perfume. It cost an enormous amount of money. And she anointed his feet for burial. Hear me. The other people couldn't understand what was happening. Jesus understood it. Mary understood it. There were two people that left that day with a full understanding. There were two people that day because what happened was Mary then took her hair from her and wiped the feet of Jesus. Look, he later on washed his disciples' feet. There was something so important about this. Blessed are the feet of him who brings good news. Jesus was bringing the good news. He was on the way to cross, and she was anointing his feet for burial, and there were only two people that left that dinner with the smell of that beautiful perfume fragrance on them, and that was Jesus and Mary. The world was coming after him. They wanted to encounter him because what was taking place was they knew that they had stepped into the divine. They'd stepped in and they had an encounter with the deity. And those religious leaders could not take it, and so they wanted to silence him. And the way that they silenced him was the same way they silenced Charlie Kirk, is they were going to kill him because the message was offensive to them. And so they were looking for a way to do that. It says, because of this, many of them were believing. And it says here, here's their statement in chapter 12, verse 19 of John. Look, the world has gone after him. And I believe that their world is still going after him. Now think of what happens here. Some Greeks were there, and they were seeking to encounter Christ. And so they knew they had to find a way to get in to that place where Christ was. And so here we'll pick up in verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. And so these came to Philip, who were from Bethsaida in Galilee. And they asked him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. So Philip then went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip then went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, think of what Jesus says here, don't miss this. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life will lose it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Wow, what a statement. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say in verse 27? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I've glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the crowd that stood there heard it said it thundered. Others said, no, that was an angel that has spoken to him. And Jesus clears up any confusion. He says, the voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered, we have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you. For you, for a little while longer, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have this light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. That is not open for argument. It's not open for debate. Whether or not you agree with it, I don't care. This is a statement of truth. This statement that he makes at the end is a statement that I have built my life on, that in him is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. He made some statements that I completely embrace and endorse, that it is only through him that I come out of darkness. Hear me this morning. I believe that God is calling people out of darkness right now. You say, I've stumbled around my whole life. I've went in directions and I've continued to trip. I met with a man this last week and he said this to me. He said, I'm constantly being tripped up and ensnared and trapped. Hear me. You walk in the darkness, that's what will happen. But when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, what happens is he illuminates your life. He illuminates your pathway. And no longer do you have an excuse to continue to walk in the darkness, because he says, this is the way, walk this way. What Jesus is saying here is he's giving us an invitation. He's giving us an invitation to embrace or to reject. And those are the only two options. We can either embrace that invitation or we will reject him. And if you reject Christ, hear me this morning, you will give an account for this message that you've heard. Because one day you will stand before him, and if you reject Christ, you will stand before him and say, I know why I am sent to a place of punishment, because I rejected the truth that will set me free, the truth that will give me a future and a hope. I rejected the truth, and I went into my own darkness, my own deception. You might say, well, that seems very hard. Hear me. If I didn't tell you the truth, it would be enormously hard, and then there would be some responsibility upon me. But when Jesus declares these things, and I totally and completely agree with what his truth is, and so we step into that. Jesus says this, he says, truly, truly, I say to this. What does that mean? Jesus was the only one. If you read the Gospels, you will see that statement again and again. Truly, truly. Why did he say that? Because it's an emphatic declaration that is not open to debate or argument. You can disagree with it if you want to, but the consequences will rest completely and totally upon you, because you've ignored or denied this statement and this truth. And so Jesus makes a statement, and they could fully understand it. They could fully embrace it, because here, they were from a culture that understood the issue of agriculture. I think we also do. He said, unless a seed goes into the ground, into that place of darkness, that it remains alone. But if it goes into that place of darkness and it dies, then it will produce a harvest. It will produce a harvest that is multiplied, that is beyond what we could even imagine. Last year, I took some seeds, and I thought they were pumpkin seeds. I believed they were pumpkin seeds. And so I put them on a paper plate, and I let them dry out, and I put them in a dark place in our basement, because I got tired of going to stores and buying 8 seeds for $2.29. And I wanted to plant some pumpkins, because we do this big fall fun day at the farm for all these kids, and we give out pumpkins to kids. Last year, I raised a couple hundred pumpkins, I believe it was. So we just gave them out. So this year, I didn't want to buy all those seeds. So you're just going to give them out. So I took these seeds this in the spring, and I planted them. I found out I was in for a rude awakening. When they started to grow, I thought, that doesn't quite look like a pumpkin plant. And then as they begin to mature the fruit, I knew that it wasn't a pumpkin plant. And then I understood that I had saved summer squash seeds, and I planted them. And so now I have at least a couple, I'd say probably 150 to 200 summer squash, and we've been eating them. I opened up one of those summer squash here a couple weeks ago, and I was just absolutely dumbfounded to see the amount of seeds. I went out there and I looked at one plant, and out of one plant, it had produced, I think, about 5 or 6 fruit. Summer squash. I thought to myself, think of this. From one seed, it produced all of these other seeds. From one seed. What Jesus is saying is very accurate and very true. And I believe that none of us will be confused by it. So when Jesus said, we must die, he is saying that in Christ, when Jesus invites us to come follow him, he says, take up your cross. What does a cross mean? A cross was it was symbolic of death. It was an instrument of death. And Jesus understands when he invites us, when he makes that invitation, that we must die to living for our own self, because if we only live for ourselves, we will be that single seed that our lives will not go on. It will not leave a legacy. But when you look at the life of Jesus and you understand, especially in what he's referring to, that he is going to go to the cross, he is going to take and willingly, the one who was without sin. You want to read an incredible prophetic discourse of this? Read Isaiah chapter 53. Like a lamb led to slaughter, the one who knew no sin, that became sin for us, so that we can step into the mercies that are new every morning in Christ, and we can be forgiven. That's the simple gospel. It's been proclaimed now for over 2,000 years with millions and billions embracing that truth and experiencing life because they died to themselves. Why did Paul say, I must die and I must die daily? Because if I don't, I will be that single seed that doesn't matter. I spoke last week about living a life of significance, living a life of that matters, living a life that produces something more than just enough for you. In reference to what we've dealt with this last week, think of those that have encountered the wonderful life-giving message of Jesus Christ, and now they are going to take that torch of that light and they will run this race. And they will not live so self-absorbed in this world, but they will live as servants of God. And I believe that. I believe that why this is so difficult for so many, especially of these young people, these 20 and 30-year-olds, because they realize there's a cost to following Christ. But one day, it will be like that Rita Springer song, worth it all, one day. Worth it all. I was listening to a song this last week. I was praying on Friday morning in my pickup, and I heard this song that I used to listen to all the time. It's by a guy by the name of Will Regan, and living with trusting Christ and embracing him. Nothing to hold on to is the title of the song. And I love this one statement. It says, I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open, nothing to hold on to, because you're holding on to Christ and he's holding on to you, and you're not holding on to the things of this world. My life is in the hands of the maker of heaven. What a declaration. Jesus is inviting us into that. He said, oh, live with value, live with purpose. Whoever loves his life will lose it. Doesn't he say that here? And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Oh, there's no room. There's no other option. There's no door B. This is the door. This is the way. And so he says, if you love your life, meaning you save it, you spare it, you will absolutely lose it. But when you're willing to give it, one of the things that I've been so absolutely grateful for is the young men that God has entrusted to me to challenge and to correct and to encourage. And I tell them, oh, run, run. Raising up these men that say, this life is a gift and I live it in a place of not selfishness, but sacrifice. That I want my life to matter. That I want my life to count. So count the cost. And then understand that it's worth every cost. That he's not a debtor. That when I've invested in him, he's faithful to keep that which I've entrusted to him. Until that day. Until that day. My life is in the hands of the Maker. My life is in the hands of God. I want to ask you this question. Is your life in the hands of God? Are you living this life for yourself, or you coming to a place where you say, I've been in darkness for too long, Pastor Todd. I've been in darkness and I've been stumbling around and it's been nothing but pain and nothing but despair. But today the light of Christ is shining into your heart right now. And he's saying, oh, come to me. I'm not willing that any should perish. I love that statement that he says. He's drawing. Jesus said in verse 32, I'm lifted up. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. That's happening right now. That's happening right now. Men and women, Christ is drawing you to himself. All of a sudden, your mind has been opened by the power of the Holy Spirit. The light of the gospel has opened your mind. And it's time. It's time to step in and embrace the invitation of Jesus. Truly, I say to you these things. Today, he will give you a gift of brokenness, a gift of where you say, I need forgiveness, I need mercy right now. And you embrace that, and then you say, Jesus, I give it all to you. I give it my past, my present, and whatever is in the future, I trust you with it all. I want to pray for you right now. Oh, he's right with you today. He knows exactly what you're encountering. He knows exactly what you're facing. And hear me, the lie of the enemy is you will die this way. The lie of the enemy is to take he's tormenting you with this lie of taking your life. I bind that and I break that curse by the blood of Jesus Christ right now. That stops right now. Jesus, I thank you that you are God drawing people out of darkness right now. You're not willing that they should perish, but they are on a road to perish. But today, Jesus, you are showing them a detour. You're showing them this new path. And so today, I ask you for the gift of brokenness, a gift of humility, where they just experience the wonderful conviction of your Holy Spirit, and they agree with you right now, and they live and they give their lives to you. And they live the rest of their lives as that seed that's died so that you can truly live in them and through them. And so I thank you for that and I praise you for it. And we just declare right now, your word today is not going to stop. It's going to continue to God just speak to them over and over. And God, I thank you for that. And I thank you right now, freedom is coming. I thank you in minds right now, freedom is coming. I thank you, you're breaking off addiction. You're breaking off anger and bitterness. You're breaking off violence right now in the name of Jesus. Violence against themselves, violence against others. You're breaking it by the power of your name, Jesus. And so we trust you and we believe you. And not one thing can separate us from your love. So God, demonstrate that love to so many right now. And so we bless you and praise you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I believe that God is going to do miracles in your life. I know he is right now. You're getting a peace that you've never known. That's a miracle. You're going to get some joy you've never known. You're going to find purpose that you've never known because that's his will, and I agree with it. Will you agree with it and just continue to hold on to it? We'd love to hear from you what God's done in your life, through your life, how he spared your life, how he set you free. In Revelation, it says they overcame him, meaning the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Share with somebody what God's done in your life. It will give you a whole new freedom that you've never known before when you begin to speak out and declare what God's accomplished and what God's done in your life. We pray for you each week that his word would so penetrate your heart and your mind that you would walk in a way of peace and joy because he's given you a purpose for this week.
You've been listening to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. Our service times are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 9:30. Please visit our website at cornerstoneup.com. or call us at 906-663-4700. Cornerstone Church, loving God, loving people, serving the world.
Ball sinking in the water, sand couldn't get much hotter. Little umbrella-shaped margaritas, coconut oil tanning senoritas. Oh, now I know how Jimmy Buffett feels. Hands on the wheel, cruising down the interstate. Gas pedal sticks, carries my car away. I was going as fast as a rambler goes. I could feel the speed from my head to my toes. Oh, now I know how Richard Petty feels. Well, I've been around the block a time or two. Done almost everything a boy can do. I've done some living, yeah, I've had fun. But there is one thing that I haven't done. Saved 2 months, bought a little diamond. Tonight's the night, feels like perfect timing. Down on one knee on mama's front steps. Man, I'm gonna die if she really says yes. River feels. Well, I've been around the block a time or two. Done almost everything a boy can do. I've done some living, yeah, I've had fun. But there is one thing that I haven't done.
To say hello, and I don't mean to pry, but girl, I gotta know, what is your name? How come I ain't seen you around before? So, you know, I ain't never had a type, having a type takes two, but I know what I like, and you're the only one of you, you're something else. And I know we just met, but I wanna introduce you to my kinfolks, to my old friends, to the house in the pines where the road is. Where I grew up, where I thought I knew it all before I knew what love was. Give up on it, but honey, you got my hopes up. And I'm thinking that I wanna introduce you to my kinfolk. I wanna take you home tonight, just take you home tonight. Get Joni on the phone, she'll leave us on the light. I wanna see the way you look up under all those stars. Talk words, gonna get around. They'll tell you how they thought I'd never settle down out on the porch. Ain't it funny the way things change? I wanna introduce you to my kinfolks, to my old friends, to the house in the pines where the road ends. Take you to my hometown, where I grew up, where I thought I knew it all before I knew what love was. Gave up on it, but honey, you got my hopes up. My hopes up. And
cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream. But she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, it's gonna be a party. Out of town about half a mile. Four-wheel drives and big mud tires. Muscadine wine. Oh, baby, you can find me in the back of a jacked-up tailgate. Sitting around watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started. It's my kind of party. Baby, just do your thing. Give up your keys. Hell, why drive when you can stay with me? And then after a while we sneak away from the bonfire. Walk by the moonlight and down to the riverside. Got you sipping on some moonshine. Baby, if you're in the mood, you can settle for a one night of rodeo. You could be my tan leg Juliet. I'll be your redneck Romeo. Find me in the back of a jacked up tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started. It's my kind of party. Watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started. It's my kind of party.
Every time I'm chasing this neon rainbow song.
can write a book on the trouble with a woman and a man, but you cannot impose, you can't stick your nose into something that you don't understand. Still you wonder who's cheating who, who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right to someone tonight and whose car is parked next door. Really couldn't tell that she had another lover on her mind. See, it felt so right when she held me tight. How could I be so blind? Still you wonder who's cheating who, who's being true, and who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right with someone tonight, whose car's barking next door. Guitar. Time love is stolen in the shadows of the night. Though it's wrong all along, it keeps going on as long as they keep it out of sight. Still you wonder who's cheating who and who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right to someone tonight, whose car is barking next door. Next door.
A little time, it'll only bring us closer. Thank you. black label pouring on ice. Made a honky-tonk out of this living room. Yeah, swimming through her goodbye. Misery loves company. Yeah, whiskey and rain coming down, coming down. Splash of bourbon in the glass. Yeah, pouring something on the pain. Let it drown, let it drown. Trying to wash away the past. Oh, oh, oh. Since my blue sky sunshine. Nothing but a hangover, trying to get over you. The Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'm gonna wake up in the morning feeling brand new, without a single cloud in the sky. Oh, but tonight it ain't the weather breaking. Yeah, whiskey and rain coming down, coming down. Flash of bourbon in the
floating in the air. Being with you gets me that way. I watch the sunlight dance across your face, and I've never been this swept away. All my thoughts just seem to settle on the breeze when I'm lying wrapped up in your arms. The whole world just fades away. The only thing I hear is the beating of your heart. And I can feel you breathe, it's washing over me. And suddenly I can feel you breathe. Just breathe.
as all the walls come tumbling down. Closer than I've ever felt before, and I know, and you know, there's no need for words right now. Just breathe.